Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wedgehead Pinball Podcast. My name is Alan. I'm one half of the Portland Pinball Bar Wedgehead, of which the podcast is named. I'm joined today by my co-host, Alex, the water boy. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to be talking about some advice for players newer to the hobby, and specifically those kind of getting into the hobby on the location scene, I guess, going out playing pinball in its natural habitat, which is in the wild. And it's going to be some kind of pitfalls, stuff we wish we knew when we were first getting into it, and just some kind of advice that we want everybody to know.
Episode is titled, So You Want to Play Some Pinball.
Oh, we're sticking with that? I just called it that because it just is because of mousing around, and it's always like you want to mouse around or whatever on the little alphanumeric display. That's funny.
I think it's good.
We'll click. Yeah, we'll stick with you. So you want to play pinball.
So you want to play pinball, do ya? Do ya?
So yeah, I figured we start with just kind of talking about how we kind of got into pinball. A lot of us listeners and just people in the hobby played pinball growing up, but we probably had some moment where we came back to it as an adult. I don't know a lot of people that kind of like played it and understood it as a child. Me personally, my wife, Megan, who I've mentioned on the podcast a few times, she's a great sport. And she liked pinball back in the day, but we would play it occasionally and we'd go to barcades and stuff. I never really knew what I was doing until one day a friend of a friend asked if I wanted to play a game with him, and I had no idea to that point that you could play two-player. And I just remember, like, that was the first thing. I was like, holy shit, like, all these, like, it was probably been a year of me and Megan visiting barcades, and we would just take turns. And you see that still. I mean, that's a common thing.
Oh, I see it all the time. I see it happen all the time at our bar. All the time.
It's always tough because I don't want to be, like, the kind of, like, the tool that's going over and, like, mansplaining unsolicited advice, but I always do. That's one thing. If I see a couple trading off, I will usually go out of my way to tell them, press the start button twice. It'll make your lives better. Pay attention to which player it says on the screen, and it'll just be so much more fun. It's immediately like, okay, you don't have to remember a score. You're actually competing in lifetime, which is what pinball is all about.
Yeah, we should start that off. My wife, Casey, who works at Wedgehead as the bar manager, she specifically mentioned we should mention that because she sees it all the time. We get a lot of casual players that come in or people that are new to pinball and they don't know how to play a two-player game. So, I mean, a lot of people that are listening to a pinball podcast should probably be on this point, but in case you're not,
yeah,
you press the start button for as many people as you want to play, usually up to four. There's a few games like $6 Million Man that you play six-player.
Yeah, or the big DMD Segas.
Just press start, and then you alternate balls.
Yeah, that's one thing I just am like, don't be afraid to tell other people that if you see them that might not know it, or your friends that, I guess that's one thing. If you got friends you're going to take out, make sure you show them that, because it's just something that actually makes a big difference.
It does, and it's you're going to have more fun.
What about you? How did you kind of get into pinball?
I was living here in Portland. I had moved here on a whim, and I was working at a restaurant in downtown, and I was a closing cook, and I had time during the afternoon, and there's a big barcade, pretty much the biggest, I think. Oh, can't say the name barcade.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, no. The big corporate entity will come after us. But a place called Ground Control, it's still here in Portland, and they opened over 20 years ago. I don't know the exact date, but they basically influenced a lot of like the different arcades and bars mm-hmm. that you see across the country now. A lot of people got inspiration from Ground Control here in Portland. So I would go there in the afternoons and I would play mostly video games that you would remember. The Simpsons stand-up arcade cabinet, the X-Men stand-up arcade cabinet, Dr. Yep. Mario, the stuff that you would think. And then eventually that stuff kind of wears kind of thin because there's no save points or saving your story like in a modern video game at home. I got bored. I went upstairs and they had a bunch of pins and I remember playing Attack from Mars, and that was the game that went from like not into pinball to obsessed with pinball.
That's kind of a classic. Yeah,
I think it did a great job of like, this sounds really dumb, but I'm sure everyone that's listening to this podcast who is a pinhead has had this moment of like, you go from what casuals, now we roll our eyes when we hear people go, I thought it's just slapping around, not letting the ball drain. And then you're like, no, there are rules. We were all at that point where we didn't know there were rules. We didn't know there were objectives.
100%. Like, that's what we were kind of joking about before we started recording was that I was always just mad that shooting the ramps wouldn't do something every time. Because all I knew was shoot the ramps. And you're like, once you realize that, it's like a catalyst moment.
But for me, it was Attack from Mars, realizing, oh, I'm defending the Earth. I'm defending different cities on the Earth from this alien invaders. I shoot the saucer, right? I clear two saucers. Oh, I get an extra ball. I can shoot the scoop for an extra ball. I learned how to light the locks, and I get a multi-ball. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's like even basic rudimentary rules
yep.
taught me that there were rules and that there were objectives. And then it became obsessed.
Yep, that makes sense. And yeah, I guess that kind of was kind of glossed over it. But like the first thing on my list here to make sure, if you're getting into the hobby, play with friends. Even if they're not good, playing with other people gives you an opportunity to kind of like step back, look at the game while you're not just fighting for your life when you're new. You'll learn from them. If they are good, they can give you advice. But just even if it's just you and a buddy at a bar for the first time, yeah, it's always better to be playing with friends. It's what pinball's all about, in my opinion. It's a great part about Wedgehead.
I agree. I think it's important to play with other people. It makes it a lot of fun. I was fortunate enough to meet other people in town that were also into pinball. Portland's a big pinball city. It has been the entire time I've lived here for the better part of 15 years, and it remains so. We have so many machines on location, but that also means that because they're so accessible, so many average people that like aren't playing in tournaments or aren't like pinball isn't their main hobby. They don't have a game in their house or whatever. They still will go out to their local bar and be like, oh, I love a Theater of Magic, or I love this game, or like, let's play The Sopranos. And like, they may not be pinheads, but they like to play casually, and they have certain machines that they do know some of the rules to, and they can play decently well.
Yep, that's always funny when you find someone that doesn't really play pinball much, but they have one machine they can like act on. I love that. Because you're like, oh, you figured this one out yourself, huh? And that kind of gets us into the next part. I guess you talking about Attack from Mars was learning rule sets, which is something that when you first get into pinball, and a lot of the, I think the listeners of the podcast will kind of be like, okay, yeah, there's rules. You might not go out of your way to learn them. In my opinion, the best games are intuitive and you don't have to. But when you're first starting out, especially with the older games, there's almost always a card on the apron at the bottom of the machine near the flippers that'll show you some like basic stuff. On the older games, that's pretty much all you need to know. On the newer games, you can usually Google, you can find kind of quick tip, or you can find an entire, you know, 40-page rule set for Venom. And that's one thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a joke with us, like learning like the modern rules. It's like it takes like a, you know, a fucking college degree at this point. But like sometimes learning that stuff will give you a bigger, you know, a better appreciation for the game. At least that was my experience with Venom. And we talk from a place of privilege living in Portland, but if you're in a town where you only have two pinball machines and you don't like one of them, I would say learn the rules on that one anyway, and you'll have a new appreciation.
Agreed. I mean, every game you're going to enjoy more if you know the rules. And there's a lot of times, like Alex is saying, is like we're spoiled here in Portland with all the pinball machines on location. But if you only have, even if you only have a few pins in your area, probably going to be Modern Sterns, and the Modern Sterns have very complicated rule sets, even for longtime pinball players, like even for myself.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's
or you, like,
I mean, there's Modern Sterns that I've been playing since I've been into pinball or whatever, playing for 5 years, that I've won, you know, in tournaments on, that I will realize 5 years down the road, I have no idea like how the hell to get an extra ball or something. I'm like, I just get it by playing the game long enough. And it's funny, you can kind of like force your way through shit, but you will have more fun, especially when you're starting out, if you have an idea what you're doing.
Especially if, like you're saying, there's two pins in a spot.
Yeah.
And you're like, one of them's like Stern Star Wars. And you're like, learn those rules. Complicated, but they're, I would say, unbalanced, in my opinion, towards certain things. But you're going to get, if you're looking at the high scoreboard on a Stern Star Wars on location, and you're going to be like, how the hell do people get in the billions? And then you read the rule set or you watch a tutorial.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh.
And you're like, oh, they had a 40x multiplier on the video mode. That's a billion.
Yep.
Just funny. I guess from there, we're going to talk about some of the common things that you might think you know really well when you're getting into the hobby.
I think this is where we get into etiquette. And this is what I want to talk about with new players. It's very easy to get into something. A little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yes.
It's always been true. And there's a lot of people that know a lot more than you that have been in the hobby a long time. And some of those people are dicks and some of those people are gatekeepers. But you want to keep in mind, don't be a noob that goes out there and complains about silly stuff that you don't fully understand. And I'll give some examples. When you go out on location, crying about tilt settings is just, it's whack.
Like, I was pretty guilty of that.
I was too. When I first started playing, I was too. Another one that's a modern day thing that I hear a lot of online and unfortunately in person is new players coming in and wanting to know the pitch level of a game. And I just want to say this here, and we can touch on this in a different podcast maybe later about setup and stuff, but like people set their games to different pitches. Full stop. Some places set them really flat. Some places set them really steep. I think a lot of people get into a hobby, they jump on Pinside or join a Facebook group, which is great, but you're going to hear a lot of weird shit in those groups that are things like, it's got to be at 6.5 degrees of pitch.
Yeah, anything less or more than that is not going to play right. That's why you're bad at the game.
That's why you're bad, yeah.
A lot of like these things that people kind of like to raise hell about when they're kind of like, getting into the hobby, it's because they want an excuse for not playing well.
Yes.
And I think the biggest thing to realize with pinball is we're all playing the same game. That's why you can't compare scores from one machine to another. That's
100%.
Why online leaderboards are an inherently bad idea for pinball. It's like every game. I mean, you're playing it. You gotta make the best of what you have in front of you. That's the fun part of pinball. It's physical. You don't have like any different excuse than any other guy.
When you play one Metallica and you go to a different Metallica, they're going to play different.
Yeah.
There's so many variables that go into a pinball machine, down to like the rubbers that they use, what compound those are, how steep or flat a game is, how tight or not tight the tilt setting is, and just how worn in a game is. Mm-hmm. Like if it's dirty or if it's clean and freshly waxed, all those sorts of things. But it's really like what you don't want to be is the person that goes around and blames the game and saying things to the operator or the other people in your league like, oh, this game isn't playing right because it's too steep.
Right.
It's supposed to be 6.5 degrees and it's not. The thing about it is that's complete bullshit because one, it's about setup and people will set up the games as they see fit. All the legs come with levelers of which you can move them up or down about 3 inches, right?
Yeah.
So it's up to you to set them up how you want because there is no one number. There is no perfect pitch for a machine to play. And some games play better flatter. Some games play better steeper. And people have preferences, and whatever your preference is doesn't mean it's right. That's what you need to realize, like when you're new in pinball. It's like your preference is your preference. I have my preferences. We set our games up at Wedgehead a certain way, the way we like it. But when new players especially come in and they're like, oh, what the pitch is too steep or whatever. And I go, you don't know what you're talking about. Like that's just like your opinion.
Well, it's like, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
People like submitting service requests because the bubble level isn't exactly in the center.
Exactly.
You know, like I've seen those bubble levels installed like with a 1/4-inch gap underneath them in the wood rail. So
yes.
What are we doing here?
Well, and not to mention the old Bally Williams levels that they used to use had just like 6 or 7 lines on them. There wasn't like 2 lines where the bubble's supposed to sit in between like you would think of a level.
Yeah.
At least the modern Sterns have like a clear level to read. The old Bally Williams would just have a bunch of lines. And they tell you what they're supposed to correspond to if you look in the manual, but people still go, well, it's supposed to be in the middle of the level. That's what I think. You know, it's like, again, these are things like you don't know what you don't know when you're getting into the hobby. And part of the fun of pinball is complaining about the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't want to say that you can't have fun and blame the game. Absolutely. You tilt and you're like, ah, these motherfuckers like this, like, you know, the game fucked me. Or like the ball rolls off off an orbit. It hits the top of the sling and drains out the side. You go, God, this shouldn't happen. Why did the game do this to me? That's all part of the fun, but make sure you keep it as part of the fun.
Right.
Okay. Don't let it get actually to the point where it upsets you. And don't use it as a reason to be like, this place or this operator or whatever, they're trying to screw me. Because that's not what they're trying to do. I guarantee you, we rely on repeat business. We want people to play the games. Right. Nobody. Every time you go and an operator sets up a game, they set it up because that's the way they like it. That's the way they like it to play, especially when you're talking about a lot of hobbyist operators that are all pinball heads. You're getting a lot of new operators out that are all pinball heads. They're pinball players. They start operating games because there's not games in their area. And so they're going to set up the games the way they like them to play. So they're not there to screw you. They're setting up, they're doing a lot of work and effort so that the games, when they go out to that brewery or whatever, and they coin up a game and play with friends or start, they have a good time. Like for me, I fucking hate floaty flat games. I hate them. Like, but if I go to a place, game's floaty, is flat, that's what we're playing, man.
Right. Like if that's what's in front of me, we're going to play it.
There's no point in me bitching about it.
Yeah.
Or not putting up a good score or whatever and just be like, this is bullshit. This game sucks. Like, don't do that. It's a weak move. And nobody wants to hear it, especially because the people around you, when you're new to any hobby, they know you're a noob, okay? There's people that are either welcoming or not welcoming in any little hobby or community. But people that have done something for a long time, they know that you're a noob, and it's always fine. You're like, oh, you're new. This is awesome. Like, welcome to the hobby or whatever. But what people don't like to hear is you, quote-unquote, educating them about the way things are supposed to be because you listen to a podcast or you're on a stream.
Right. You saw some thread on Pinside say you needed to be at 6.9 degrees, and now you're like, that's why I can't hit that upper orbit shot on Rick and Morty. It's supposed to be at 6.9 degrees.
In the immortal words of Steve Ritchie, the best advice is just to fucking play better.
100%.
What Rhodesy says all the time, my business partner who you've heard on this podcast, is he always says a poor craftsman blames their tools. And it's just about everyone plays the same game. You're complaining about it. Everyone else, the person that's on the high score list, the person that has the GC, everyone else, they're playing the same game as you and they're scoring a lot better than you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit there and you can complain about it or you can get better and play better. And that's really the best advice. And the thing is that just like we're saying now, it's like we have a podcast, we have our point of views, but there are opinions. Just remember, whenever you're on Pinside, a forum, you're watching a stream or whatever, that's their opinion. We all have different opinions on pinball, which is what makes it fun and dynamic. But your opinion doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
The way I like to set up games doesn't make it right. It makes it right to me.
And I think that's kind of the part of it is like you just kind of have to respect the operators to some degree. And it's their game. They're putting a $10,000 toy out there for you to go pay 50 cents and play. Like, quit complaining about little stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Just learning to kind of go with the flow, man. You know, like take more accountability for the way you play and less about the game. It's always fun to blame the machine. And like I said earlier, like, I don't want to take that away from you. It's fun to just be like, ah, that game, you know, it's the game's fault, right? But it's really your fault. Yeah. Know, like, always remember it's your fault.
I don't know. To me, it's always just a different opportunity to practice something or whatever. Like, you find something that isn't playing how you think it should. And it's like, we'll get better at that because it'll make you a better player in the long run.
I will also say, in that same vein, the other common one is the game's not level. Like, it's leaning left or it's leaning right.
Yeah.
You will find games that are
horribly unlevel. Yeah, we've played some.
Of course. Like, you will run into them, and in some scenes, you'll run into them a lot, and it varies a lot on location. But there are people that are very insufferable because every game they play leads to the left. And it leaves to the right? Like, it's no matter how level it is, I don't know how many times I've
noticed a lot of the people that complain about that are the same ones shoving games 6 inches to do a slide save.
Yeah.
They wonder why the game's not perfectly level.
That's a great point, Alex.
And you're like, huh. So it's kind of funny. It's just like
owning a bar and arcade where we focus on pinball. We see this a lot. I've done the thing where I get on my hands and knees and I hand level all the games. And I make sure, so when somebody comes in, they're like, hey, Alan, this game is not level. I go, okay. I open the glass. I put the level on there. I let them look at it between the bubble in between the lines. I go, looks pretty damn level to me.
Yeah, you're like, what are you complaining about here,
bud? You don't want to be those person that I do that to, okay? Because I'll make a joke of it, and we'll have a good time. But what I'm teaching you is a lot of these things are in your mind. Like, a lot of the things 100%. You complain about in pinball are in your head. So focus on what's in between your ears when you're playing pinball. Like, focus on how to get better as a player. And there is a plateau point when you're playing pinball, when you first get into it, where you're not any good, and then you start learning rules, you start looking up rules, you start watching streams or YouTube videos or whatever of good players, and then you're like, oh, I know what I'm supposed to do. Or the first time you do something, like the first time you get a super jackpot in Adam's Family or whatever, and then you're like, oh, I should be able to do that again, and then you don't. We hit this plateau point. And then that's when I see all this stuff where it's like, well, it must not be level,
yep.
Or the flipper's not strong enough, this or that.
It's like the 6 month point or so. You know, there's some like level where it's like, oh, you've been playing, you know all the terminology now, and you're going to suddenly start noticing like these little things because you've been watching Twitch or whatever, and the game on Twitch doesn't do this, but the one at your bar does this.
Yes.
And you're like, guess what? Neither of them are right. Like,
yeah.
Some of these things, machines.
Some of these things are true malfunctions, but those should be obvious.
Yeah,
shot doesn't register, flipper doesn't flip.
I mean, there are some things that are worth bitching about when you're like, oh my god, this scoop's shooting it right between the flippers every single time. But it's also funny when you play the game with your buddy and you're like, well, shit, don't hit that scoop then.
Yeah.
Like, how far can you go without hitting that scoop? Like, it sounds like you shouldn't hit that scoop. Because it's like, and that's where I'm always at. I don't know, even when you find a genuinely horrible game. When I got into the hobby, we would go seek out. Yeah, I lived in a smaller city and we'd seek out any pinball machine that we hadn't played yet. And you'd be playing some haggard copy of X-Men with half the original incandescent bulbs burnt down and shit.
Totally.
You know, I just always remember it was just kind of like a joke. You're just sitting there trying to play and you're like, well, I don't care. I'm just trying to beat my buddy while we get like hammered at this dive bar.
Sure. Because you're playing the same. Even when you're playing bad poorly maintained machines, you're still both playing the same machine.
That's the biggest thing I always come back to with pinballs. It's like, we're playing the same game. That's, again, why I hate online leaderboards for pinball. Or hate people trying to compare scores or any of that.
It's hard to compare scores to other scores because unless you're playing the same machine, it means nothing.
Yeah, when guys post up on like pinball subreddit and they'll have some score on their Godzilla and you're like, was that five balls? Was it three? Like, what are you even doing?
What's your tilt setting?
Exactly. You're like,
did you do the Jack Danger, take the tilt bob off, like, and play it on your Twitch stream or whatever? And I love Jack. That's no shade. It's just, he knows he sets them loose.
You can set up beams however you want, and you're free to do that.
Sure.
Don't brag about the score. That's the thing.
Or don't act like brag about your score. Be proud of yourself. We all play for high scores and market. But don't act like you've done something that nobody else has done or that you're somehow. And I also think that anytime you're playing a home machine, that ain't a real high score.
I'm kind of with you on that.
It's too sus. I mean, it's just there's too many factors that you don't have to deal with. And the fact that nobody else can come in and put up a higher score.
Yep.
It's just not.
It just doesn't really mean much.
It doesn't.
That's why I would never brag about. I guess that's just kind of its own thing. It's just don't brag about scores on home games because it's like it's not the same thing.
It's a little bit corny.
It is.
It's just corny. So we're just, I guess, this middle section.
Now we're just about to do something. You're like, this is shit we don't like.
Well, I think it's just about, we're talking about like basics. So like you're into pinball. We're talking about like when you get the fever, like we all got the fever and we were all dumb, right? Like I was dumb. I complained to Rhodes. Yeah, I was like, oh man, these games are too hard. I remember he brought a whirlwind in that I thought was too hard, too turned up. And he was just like, bah, come on. He called me a wuss. And then like he proceeded to, like, I was like, you can't really hit this upper flipper shot. And then he would proceed to hit it three or four times in a row for the super jackpot in whirlwind. He's like, what do you mean you can't hit it?
You mean maybe you can't hit it.
Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the game, right? And I think that's something that I wish I knew now to tell myself then, because I'm sure I said cringeworthy things all the time.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm sure I complained about, it's not supposed to hit the sling when it goes around the orbit. It's not supposed to do any of this shit. But you learn as you play more that, one, every machine plays different. People set games up differently. There's nothing wrong with the way anybody sets them up. You need to get over yourself. And the best way to become a good player is to stop making excuses for your poor play and start owning it.
100%. Should we move on? Are you done with that section, Alan?
I think so. For now. This will be a theme on the podcast, I think, in the future.
Like back onto more beginner specific advice. I was gonna say, feel out your local scene for like tournaments and leagues if they exist. See what the vibe is like, if it's something you're interested in. That's a big thing. When you get into the hobby, everyone will be like, if you want to get good, start going to tournaments. You don't have to do that.
No.
There's no rules to this shit.
No.
You just gotta play pinball to get good.
You do gotta just play pinball. And play pinball with a purpose.
And that's not to say if you have fun, if you have friends at the tournaments, if it's a good scene in your town, because it changes town by town, by all means, go to the tournaments, hang out. You'll learn a lot from those guys. There's a lot of good players in tournaments. But it's not something you got to do. And it's not something that you need to feel bad about, like, not enjoying. Because it's a common theme for us on the podcast. But Alan and I, we're not big tournament guys. We just like playing competitive pinball in a different, friendlier way, I guess. And with a lot less standing around.
I like to play with my friends. We like to play what we call dollar games, which you'll probably run into if you're in this hobby for any amount of time, which is you're playing with your friends and you put a buck as a bet on the game that you're going to play. So it's like, instead of playing, like committing to a 4 or 5 or 6 or more hour long tournament in your local spot, you could just play with a buddy and then you guys could kind of gamble $1 on a game or whatever. And it's fun.
It's fun.
And then the other thing is like, I'm a high score player. Like I want the grand champ score. That's what I play for. To me, a tournament doesn't scratch that itch.
Right.
Like I don't want to beat somebody. I don't want, like, you and I are playing against each other. We're playing a match. We both have mediocre games, but mine's slightly better. I don't feel victory in that.
Yeah.
I feel like I 100%. Won anything. I felt like I played like shit and you played more like shit. It doesn't hit.
Yeah, it's not really fun winning because you were slightly less shitty. It's like when we play pinball, I want to like kick your ass and set a high score. Kind of.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, that's
but
not
that's
really.
Nothing to say that people that enjoy it, like, feel it out, because it's like if you're that type of person and that sounds like fun to you, and it is a great way to measure your progress as a player, because you get instant feedback. You're in a group, you're playing with these other players. You either won or you lost, or if you're playing four-player match play, you're somewhere in the middle, right? And you get to play multiple rounds, and you get to see how well you did versus how everyone else showed up. For some people, that's a great thing. I do think that the overall blanket advice of, like, you need to play tournaments to get better, I think is bullshit. And you should know that 100%. Going in. It's like, you don't need to play in tournaments to be good. Now, we're going to talk a little bit here about ourselves, but I will say that, like, we're both very good players.
I wouldn't say I'm very good, but I'm okay.
Okay, so now for the podcast, we need to cut the fake modesty, right? Like, I think in person, I usually say, like, I'm not so good, but I beat the best tournament players in town in dollar games, head-to-head. I could beat their high scores. So to me, I look at these players that are ranked in the States and I go, they're not any better than me. Now, I may not think, like, I'm a great player.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if people think that they're a great player, I'm just as fucking good as any one of them. And you're definitely in that boat. You were entered a Wedgehead tournament recently. And how many people were in that tournament?
I can't remember, 36 or something.
Yeah, 36. Some very highest ranked players in the state were at that tournament. You played for the first fucking 5 hours, right? And then you were first in qualifying. You were qualified first. They were just about to split, right? They were going to make the final split where they were going to cut down to 16 or whatever. And you had to be like, hey, I'm not actually going to stick around because my wife has a holiday party and I'm going to go to that, right? Like, and so you left and people were like, what? He's just going to leave? And you're an unranked guy. You're not ranked by the IFPA. And so all these people were there to get their last chance IFPA points before the end of the year so they qualify for states and get, and you're just like, all these points, don't care, right? Like, and those people, there was a lot of those people that are just like, damn, I didn't realize he was that fucking good.
It is kind of funny. That's, I think, part of the fun of not playing tournaments, too, is it's like nobody knows what to expect. You're kind of a wild card. So there's some enjoyment on that side of it as well.
It is fun to take some of those best, quote unquote, best players that only play each other all the time, because there are big fish that lurk in your local waters, wherever you're at, that don't ever play in tournaments. And you won't know
until
one of them shows up and hands you your ass.
Yeah. The best guy in your town is probably some dude who doesn't go to a single tournament. It's probably some guy that's just been like jamming on the Adams family at the bowling alley for the last like 30 years.
Yeah.
It's always some guy like that, I feel like.
I mean,
And he might not, I don't know. That's funny. That's one thing that it's like, so don't stress the tournaments too much. They're great for what they are. Like, you know, some people love them and they can be an awesome entryway into the scene. And it can be a huge thing for some people, but it's not the end all be all.
I want to ask you, if we're both saying like, you don't need to go to a tournament to get good, how do you get good?
Play more pinball. It's always play more pinball. And that's like the biggest thing. We'll kind of get into some other, you know, what I'll call supplemental activities here at the end, like other things you can do to facilitate your hobby. But it all comes down to playing more pinball. Like, if you want to get better, play more pinball. And going from here, I guess the next thing I wanted to talk about was playing different games, just the different kinds of games. When you get into pinball, a lot of us are drawn to the new stuff. It's what you see, you know, when Jack Danger streamed every night, it's what you'd see him playing. It's got the cool themes, everything's flashy, the games, it's the ones you see most often out on location. But newer games aren't necessarily better, and they certainly don't make you better players. Playing older games, like playing early solid states, EMs, the ass kicker games that you'll probably hate when you get into the hobby, that's how you get better. That'll teach you, when every single shot makes you fight for control of the ball again and doesn't deliver it back to your flipper, you're going to get so much better at like ball control. You know, in a week of playing a solid state, you're going to have to fight for that ball more than you would a year of playing a modern Stern. And that's just, it's like putting your, you know, your pinball skills, your ball handling skills into a fucking time machine. It's different. And so when you're new to the hobby, don't immediately shy away from games that kick your ass.
I think that that is very succinct and well said. That's something that I preach to people when they come in and they see me play a game. And they're like, oh, wow, I'm so new. He's like, you're so good at pinball or whatever. And you're like, it's like I've been playing for 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's not like I was always good.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that from firsthand experience, when I got good was when I got interested in old games. And the reason is, just like you said, those old games make you fight for control. There's no safe ramp return to your flipper.
Right.
There's no ball savers. And there's no same lower play field standardization where the ball always has these in lanes and has the out lanes and the slings are this shape and size and they're in this place. They used to fucking move shit around.
Right. Everyone plays different.
And they play so different, and you'll get flipper hop and you'll get all sorts of crazy stuff. And it teaches you how to nudge the ball and track the ball when the ball's in the like the upper third.
Yeah.
Which is something that you never have to learn if you're playing a modern game.
Dude, you go play a 2-inch flipper like an early EM, and it's like you just want to get it up there, and then you need to just be nudging the whole fucking time. It's like that's how you play an EM. It's yep. less about the flipping than it is about keeping the ball safety on the upper third. It's yep. kind of funny.
And there's so many games that people think are like, oh, these games are coin flips because you'll plunge and you'll have a bad bounce and you'll get a house ball.
Yep.
And those games are brutal. But the thing is like, those skills transfer because your ball tracking in the upper third gets better when you play a modern game now. And so you bring that with you. But if you only play modern games, it's hard to progress because you never learn what you feel like you don't really need to know. Like, you don't need to know those things in playing a new game. You can get by with only nudging when the ball's bouncing on the post going into the out lane.
If you have good enough shot accuracy, which a lot of like newer players that have grown up playing the modern Sterns like can just drill ramp combos and stuff, you never need to fight for control of the ball.
Yeah.
There's very few shots on most modern Sterns that don't deliver a ball safely to some flipper. You know, like some of them, and that's the games that I enjoy are the ones that don't do that. Like Black Knight, Sword of Rage or something where it's like, you have to shoot this shit that is dangerous. And you're like, that's a good game. That's how pinball should be.
It's a great game.
You're like, yeah. It's funny. It's just,
I always get to put a bow on this is I always tell people play old games to learn skills and ball control.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be really hard to control the ball. So when you get good at controlling the ball in those games, it'll feel like riding a bike with training wheels. When you play a modern
absolutely.
Game, it feels like, easy then.
If I just sit here and play nothing but like my Grand Prix or whatever, playing an old EM, and then go out on location and just play a random modern Stern, it feels like the game has just been set to easy mode.
Sometimes you feel like you can't lose the ball.
100%. It's just insane. And so that's a thing. It's also another pro of playing the old games is it's great for multiplayer because they go quicker. If you're playing with someone a different skill level than you, it really narrows that gap. So it just feels like a more fair fight for everybody.
Yeah.
They're good for a lot of reasons, but we can kind of get into that in a different episode.
Yeah, that's more different episodes, but I always tell people, you want to get good, play old games, yep. period.
And that's a good segue into kind of the last real thing I wanted to talk about was just different locations. Trying to seek out places that have like a unique lineup is always fun. Don't just default to go in, especially when you're new to the hobby. Like Alan and I
play everything.
Play everything.
Find games, use the pinball map. If you don't know what the pinball map is, it's the best resource that's ever been created yep. for pinball.
If you're off of the West Coast, you probably got to go to the Pinside map, which is the knockoff version created by Pinside, and unfortunately what everyone in the Midwest uses.
Are you serious? They don't use the pinball map?
They don't use pinball map.
Really?
Not when I was out there anyway.
Oh, wow.
I know. I moved out here.
My West Coast bias showing. I don't know. I've always used pinball map, but yeah, Pinside also has a map. The pinball map is
awesome.
Updated. And so it'll allow you to search wherever you're at. So if you're traveling, you can find places that have pinball machines and other people will tell you what games they have there. And sometimes even the condition that's in or some other.
Yes, it can give you some kind of idea what to expect. It usually will say on there like, oh, they're on free play with a $10 entry fee or, oh, it's 50 cents a game or whatever. So you know what you're getting into, which is really nice. So yeah, go see
stuff. It's an absolute fantastic resource. It's free to use and you should be using it if you're into pinball. And use it to go play new stuff. There's been thousands of unique pinball machines that have been made, and you're going to want to play all of them.
Yeah.
Like, as much as you can. It's always exciting to play a new game.
Don't get stuck playing the same 20 Sterns because that's what you know how to play and that's what you've seen played, and you think you're going to get your money's worth. You're like, dude, a dollar spent on a game you've never played, even if it lasts you 30 seconds, is 1,000 times better than a dollar spent on a game you've played 1,000 times. Like,
exactly. There's nothing wrong with liking a game and sessioning it, but check out new games, man. It's the lifeblood, man. I always get jacked to play a new game.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess one other thing, just speaking on locations, is places like Wedgehead that are entry fee or, you know, we've got Next Level, Big Place. You kind of see it at some of the larger locations across the country are awesome when you're new. And especially if they've got old games and you can sit there and session a solid state for whatever, 10, 12, 20 bucks or whatever their entry fee might be. A lot of big cities have them. A lot of experienced players kind of will hate on them because they just for various reasons. But it's when you're new to the hobby, man, there is no single better thing than an entry fee arcade because you can just post up. And you can practice stuff. It's amazing.
You're going to be in that point where your fever is so hot, your pinball fever is so hot that you can play for 4, 5, 6 hours a day and not even blink.
Yeah.
And that's very expensive when you're not good at pinball. So right. The free play arcade, you're going to get your money's worth. But I would say even for that middle group of people, that aren't expert players. Here's the other thing. There's a lot of people that think they're expert players that aren't that good. Okay. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's a secret that we're going to let you in on. So you think you're not that good? Hey, there's a lot of people that aren't that fucking good. Or they're not that good all the time. That's a big thing about pinball. Mm-hmm. But I will say that even in the intermediate player, the best way to learn how to do drop catches, live catches, tap passes, dead flips, any of those things is when you're not putting a dollar into a machine for a play and you're afraid to try something because if you lose the ball, you're like, you know, like you're like, I could have just flipped and I wouldn't have lost the ball.
100%. Right?
And so those skills are very easy to learn on free play and a little bit harder to learn on coin drop. But you're going to run into both and they're both great. If you have only time for a couple of games, going to a place where you can put coin drop in is the best.
Yeah.
Like if you're waiting for a bus or something and you got 30 minutes, you're not going to want to spend $20 to go into a large free play arcade. You're not going to get your money's worth. But just when you're going to a free play spot, Wedgehead's a free play spot. We charge $12 for the whole day, and we have 22 pins of all eras. When you come in, we sometimes get those people like, oh, we're going to go to a movie. We only have 20 minutes. And I was like, yeah, that's not like, the time.
Probably shouldn't pay for a wristband then.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. They're like, well, do I have to play? And I was like, if you want to play pinball, you do. But it's like, you should come back when you have more time. And then they do. Like, that's just the thing is, it's like, come back when you have more time. We like to think that we're a destination pinball location. We're a small location. By some standards, we got small space. We have 22 pins. We rotate them all the time. And we do, I think, a damn good job of maintaining them. So we look at it like we are a pinball-focused spot, and we think we're a destination to play great pinball of all eras. So when you're going to come to Wedgehead, spend some time. Be there for 2 hours. Minimum.
And yeah, I think that's a key thing when you're trying to get like getting into the hobby is it's like seeking out those places can be. I was going to touch on some like supplemental things, like other things you do when you get really into the hobby, just kind of like what you're getting into at home. And then we'll kind of talk about what the next logical step is, I guess. But I was going to say, pulling up like when you're learning the rule sets, you can go find, you know, the Papa videos with Bo and Karens, has tutorials on YouTube. There's a lot of Twitch streamers. If you're newer to the hobby, you probably don't realize that people stream pinball like a lot now.
A lot.
It blew up because Jack Danger kind of pioneered it, and then it blew up over COVID.
Buddy Jay runs a cool stream,
yeah,
too.
Johnny Demonic is the premier streamer here in Portland, Oregon, I would say.
There's a few streamers in Portland, but Jay's a good friend of ours. We love his stream. I think all of us have been on it at one point or another.
Oh, yeah.
He does a great job. He has a good time. He's got a bunch of machines in his garage, so...
But yeah, it's a good... Streams are fun. They're more fun than watching tutorials because you can sit there and actually ask questions, interact with other people. So yes. I always think it's fun. It's just something that I don't think some people know is part of the hobby. And then past that, I know a lot of people get into the hobby, kind of get into the virtual pinball side of things. We'll touch on that a bit more, I think, in the next episode. But it is like a good way to learn rules if you can do it for cheap, like playing the games on your Switch or whatever when you're trying to learn the rules to Monster Bash. That's fun. Don't put too much money into that. Don't put too much weight into virtual pinball. It's not real pinball.
It's not real pinball. The physics aren't right. They're great for learning rule sets.
That's it.
They're great for learning rule sets. That's about it. Don't transfer your score on a virtual game to real life.
Oh, God. That should be its own topic.
Because you'll be humbled.
Right. Yeah, I think the next thing from there is like everybody wants to buy their own game. And we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to save it for a different episode.
But I think this one we covered. So you want to play some pinball? This is for the people that when you first got into pinball, some stuff we wish we knew, some stuff to avoid, and just some general advice on how to get better. And
why you should play old games.
And why you should play old games, which is what this whole podcast is about, I think, really.
I think that's what we're realizing, is every one of our topics devolves into us being like, well, you should probably go play some more old games.
You'll play a fucking old game.
You find the oldest goddamn game you can.
Yeah. Grow up.
Yeah. Quit fucking around with these goddamn tinker toys.
Yeah. So that's a common theme that we're realizing. This was just meant to be an intro for people that are new to the hobby or are just getting that bit by that pinball bug, because we've been there. Everyone's been there. Everyone that's into pinball now or seemingly has been into it for a long, long time that you'll run into, they all were in the same position you were. Like, just obsessed, feverish. Oh, there's this game. Oh, there's this game. You hear about these new games. You're like, I never knew they made.
Yeah, like,
They made a Dirty Harry game? I used to watch that movie with my dad, you know, like, and all that kind of stuff. So, like, that's the excitable period. That's the best period of pinball to me, like that.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. When you see someone that's actually excited about pinball, it's awesome, because eventually we all get jaded.
You do get jaded at a certain point.
So I think we love it, and that's why we just want to try to help people out in that stage.
Yeah, but I think this was a fun episode. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it. Even the people that are longtime pinball heads, maybe it gives you a remembrance down memory lane of how you used to be, or maybe something.
Yeah, we missed something
the
big.
Cringe or embarrassing things you used to say to people that you can recall, and that you're like, God, ugh. That you hate hearing now out of new players.
If you disagree with anything we said, or you have any suggestions or things we missed, make sure to just send it all to Alan's Instagram account. His favorite way to receive everything is on Instagram.
No, don't do that. You can send us an email at wedgeheadinfo@gmail.com if you have any comments about the podcast in general, maybe you want to be a host in the future, or you have your own Die on This Hill game that you'd like featured. Send it to me and we can schedule something in the future. But for everyone else, thanks again for listening. Until next time, go out, play some fucking pinball, have a good time, okay? Good luck. Don't suck.